C6, number 12A.
Today we take the question of healing, and we would like to see if with the method of matrix we can get nearer to the answer of what is healing. I think healing is always a great question in Christian Science, and it always has been somehow a puzzle. Why? Because one could see that students reading the textbook, when they came to the point where they had to give a treatment, where they had to use Christian Science for healing, they didn't quite know where to turn to in the textbook in order to find what they should do now in order to heal themselves or somebody else. One would think that the 12th chapter on Christian Science practice would give a full answer. But if you look back historically, so to say, we always have watched and seen that practitioners or students were always looking out for something more than the 12th chapter or the textbook even, to find, so to say, a guideline for giving a treatment. Because actually, I think it is so that if one asks the question, where does Mrs. Eddy give us a line of reasoning, a line of thinking, in order to give a proper treatment, I think the textbook doesn't give an answer. Actually, I for myself wouldn't quite know to which pages or chapter to turn if I would ask, where does Mrs. Eddy give us some kind of rule or line of treating disease? Therefore, when one listens around and asks the students who have gone through class with a teacher in the movement, one sees very distinctly that each one has been taught differently how to give a treatment. When I ask those students, what were you taught? Then they may produce a paper or something of that sort where the teacher was telling how to give a treatment. And these lines of treatment deviated from each other enormously. Meaning, and this is just to state the problem which we want to answer today, meaning that the textbook itself doesn't seem to give a line, a guiding line, how to give a treatment. If you think back of how we were being taught by Mr. Dorley, he too gave us a very clear-cut line of how to give a treatment. He gave that in the classes. He gave that also in his book, Christian Science Practice. And when one asked, where did you get that from? Well, the answer was that it was his empirical, a pragmatic way of treating disease. Out of his long experience, he has formulated, so to say, some steps that have to be taken in order to give a treatment. And you know that way, that kind of treatment. I don't have to repeat it. The question is, why doesn't the textbook give us such a line of treatment? And actually, as I said, I don't think we find one in the textbook. And this should make us think, because it must make us think to say, oh, well, then perhaps the question I'm asking is all wrong. or what I'm looking for is all wrong. If the Christian Science textbook is the textbook for principle and practice, then I think we should investigate more the textbook and see what is the answer in the textbook. And therefore, I would take up this problem as a first step of suggestion, how perhaps we have to formulate in our consciousness a wider or a new sense of what healing implies. That we may find out that healing does not imply just a rule or a guideline of treatment, but that the question of healing and the ability to heal and how to heal may be a much wider question. Again, can you see what I do? I ask for system thinking. The problem is stated that says, how do we heal? How can we heal? And we say, this is not the problem. The problem is, in which larger frame of reference does the answer lie? And what is that higher frame of reference? And at the end of today's work, when we have gone over the whole matrix, I will come back to this very question, and then on the ground of what we have been doing today, you will see the importance of asking this new kind of question. Did I put it clearly? We ask how to heal, what is healing, how to give a treatment, and somehow we don't feel or we don't think that the textbook gives somewhere in a chapter or in a part of the chapter a line of how to give a treatment. And so we must say this problem is a problem that we do not have to answer directly, but that we first have to see the wider frame of reference in which this problem is only a part. We again go upward, so to say, to the whole, and the best whole we can take is the whole of the textbook. So we are investigating now again, what does the textbook say about healing, how to heal, what healing implies, etc. Therefore, what I have been doing is that I have taken out of the textbook all the references that have to do with heal, healed, healing, mind healing, cures, then all the references I have to look up about disease and sickness, just to get enough references that are relevant to the subject. Actually, there are many hundreds of references involved in it, I think even many thousands of references in it, because you know that the question of healing is a very big question in the textbook. And so from that, from the references, from the concordance, I have just marked an old Science and Health, and so that one could read all these references chronologically and subdivided into chapters. So again, what we are going to do is that we take chapter by chapter the question of healing. And the same way as we have done yesterday with the question of handling evil, I'm going to read to you the main renderings in the chapter, and perhaps here I ask you more than yesterday, perhaps, to listen to the tone, so that you are asked to be creative in your thinking, though naturally we cannot let everybody speak in the audience, or we'll never get anywhere. But still, I try to think the way you may be thinking and asking, and in this way help the creative thinking of the individual. All right. So here we take the question of healing, and again, naturally, you have to see that not every reference on disease and so on applies to healing, because there are many references to disease that were, for instance, mortal mind is the cause of disease, so this has nothing to do with healing disease, or that Jesus was persecuted for his mind healing. Again, that has nothing to do with how to heal and what does heal. So you have to let spiritual sense naturally guide you in this analysis. You can't be too wordy about this. It is not so much the letter that has to be seen, but actually the problem, the subject itself. So I start with the first chapter, the chapter on prayer. Again, we are listening and thinking, what does Mrs. Eddy bring out specifically in this chapter? Well, you think, do you know what it would be? Huh? And I think we are indefinite. Just by deductive reasoning, to think what may be in it. So we are quite surprised, really, to find here that in the whole chapter, she always speaks about the same specific concept or aspect of healing. What she really seems to answer is this. And I read you, and you will hear very quickly what it is. Here, she says that healing should be through what and not through what not. Through what? Through what? Through absolute faith, through spiritual understanding, through spiritual consciousness, through enlightened consciousness, and not through what? Not through human faith, blind faith, belief, blind belief, mere request. Isn't it very definite? Very clear. See, she doesn't say anything else. She doesn't say all the many things she will be saying in the other chapters. The question here is very much narrowed down to a specific question, namely, how should we seek to heal the sick, or through what means should we seek to heal the sick? It is actually asking the how and the medium through which we should seek to heal. And her answer, therefore, is always, as you have heard, that it always says, well, start out, and that's prayer, start out really by that sense that we should not seek to heal the sick through belief, through blind faith, through mere request, through human beliefs, etc., but that we should seek, that our prayer really is, that we should seek to heal and help through spiritual understanding, spiritual consciousness, through enlightened understanding. Can you see the terrific proposition here? That she starts out right away by clearing up what should be the means through which we should seek to heal the sick. Yes? Shall we try and epitomize this, perhaps by writing down? Perhaps the best thing is if here we first write down a question so that we know what it is. Could we say, how should we seek to heal? Or can you help me? Would it be better to say, through what means should we seek to heal? That's better. Through what means should we seek to heal? Question mark. Then would come the answer. Not through blind faith and belief. Not through blind faith and belief, but through spiritual understanding and spiritual consciousness. Did you get it? Well, you have to write a little bit in small letters to get it into the box. But it helps perhaps when we enlarge it a little bit, not have too short an epitome. But can you see quite something terrific? Because most people or students, when they think, how should I give a treatment, how should I heal, they usually think, how should I think? How should I think in order that my thinking heals? And here already in the first chapter, Mrs. Eddy says, it has nothing to do with thinking. It has to do with spiritual understanding, with spiritual consciousness, with enlightened understanding. It has nothing at all to do with thinking. It is not a thinking healing, a thinking method of healing, thought healing. It is spiritual healing, and therefore right at the beginning ask us to use that spiritual sense, that spiritual understanding, that spiritual consciousness. We'll feel very much when we do this work how much more the spiritual qualities are brought out in these chapters than we were perhaps thinking before, that treatment has to do and healing has to do very much with a spiritual culture and not at all with the way of thinking. Yes. All right. Now, let's go to the next chapter, Atonement and Eucharist. And we listen now already with a sense that we have already found one cornerstone for the matrix and are asking what would be the next step, what is the next aspect of healing. The chapter is called Atonement and Eucharist, and we know from the textbook that these are the two sides of a coin. So the same problem, we always need, in order to atone, we need the Eucharist. In order to atone, in order to be one with God, we need the Eucharist, the laying down of the false sense. That without this laying down of the false sense, we never can really be one with being. And now, in regard to healing, perhaps it's good to make that difference too, and have two categories which deal with healing. The one that has to do with the atonement sense here is rather short. She just asks obedience to God, spirituality, Christliness. But then when she touches the other side, the Eucharist side, then there are many, many more references on healing and fast. So listen to this, that which endows us with healing power is what? The laying down of the earthly all, the taking up of the cross, sacrifice, intense human sacrifice, putting aside first all that is not Christ-like, rejecting of error, rebuking error, willingness to give up human belief, not to hold on to belief outgrown, again giving up all belief, overcoming the flesh, the world, and all error. Did you hear that? Very distinctly. All these references she combines with the question, what enables us to heal, what brings forth healing power? All this about laying down, really, that which is not Christ-like. You hear again that apparently healing and having healing power has nothing to do with thinking differently. But thinking differently is actually only only benevolent hypnotism and benevolent mesmerism, but not really Christian Science. Christian Science has not to do with another way of thinking. It is a spirituality within us. And so it isn't a question now, here I have a problem, I should solve the problem, how should I think differently? Here we are introduced really into that quality which enables us to have spiritual power or healing power. And all what it says in this big chapter is always that only the laying down of the mortal sense of things, the taking up the cross, think of it, taking up the cross gives healing power. It is the sacrifice, the intense human sacrifice. Can you hear? That gives healing power. That's what we have been seeing when we went through the textbook, that I said, if we don't make any progress in Christian Science, then just go back to the second chapter and ask yourself after every sentence, am I willing to fulfill the requirement asked in this chapter? Can you hear that the ability or the willingness to have that intense human sacrifice, to put aside all that is not Christ-like, to rebuke error, the willingness to give up human beliefs, human beliefs that are outgrown, all that overcoming of the flesh and the world, that's not actually a negative aspect of Christian Science, but a positive aspect, because that gives us healing power. So we can see that really here we are facing the demand of the Christ, wouldn't you say so? Here is the demand of the Christ, the word of the Christ, that says fulfilling the demands of the Christ is endowing us with the healing power. Shall we try and epitomize it? Perhaps again I ask first the question. The question is, how do we get spiritual healing power? How do we get spiritual healing power? Question mark. Then the answer is by laying down all that is not Christ-like.